Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
life is in your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My life is in your hand. If you're in agreement with that today, raise your hand and tell him, thank you. Pilot, I'm the co-pilot. Hallelujah. I ain't trying to drive this thing, Lord. I have to admit I need you. I have to just go ahead on and tell you, Father God, doctors don't have the answers for my case. Lawyers can't do it for me, Lord. I need you right now. Brothers and sisters and friends don't have the answer. Father God, you have the answer to mine. So my life is in your hands. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. So happy to have each and every one of you all. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. Your word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. I thank you, first of all, Father God, for your word, because it's your word that give us that divine knowledge. Why? Because we've been born again, not of the corruptible seed, but we've been born again of the in, which is your word, according to 1 Peter 1:23. I thank you, Father God, that we've been washed in the blood. And for that reason, according to Ephesians 1:7, we've been forgiven of our sins. Doesn't matter what we did yesterday, last week. Father God, you are right now, God. So I ask you to forgive us for whatever we've said and done. If we're spoken word, Father God, was not pleasing in your sight, we ask you to forgive us, because your word says you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I thank you, Father God, because you have delivered us from the power of the darkness and translated us into your son's kingdom. And we thank you. We thank you, Father God, that we've been redeemed. Father God, we just send out prayers today for Pastor Bill, who's on the road. And we just pray for her and her family. Have a safe return back to Ohio this morning. We're just praying for them that they will navigate through that snow and different things that they have to get through to get back home. We place angels right now over that vehicle, Father God. Guide her back safely, her and her family. Then, Father God, we pray for Evangelist Sharon, Father God, that she continue to have a speedy recovery. Father God, we just pray right now that she be diagnosed with the right case. We pray right now, Father, that he be a minister of the right medicine. We thank you, Father God, for healing, because we know healing is in your word, Father God. You've decreed and declared. And, Father God, we continue to pray and thank you for the healing that's on her life. We're not asking again, because we've already asked you. So we're just telling you, Father God, we thank you for healing her whole body, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. We're just thanking you for it, Father God. Father God, we thank you right now for Tressie, Father God, for the healing that you put on her life, Father God, because we've already asked you about that one, Father God. So we're just kind of saying thank you. Thank you, Father God, because we know you're going to do it. You're going to do it because your word said whatever things we ask and not doubt but believe it, it's coming to pass. So, Father God, we just thank you that it's going to come to pass, and those that are believer in prayer, they're going to see it, Heavenly Father. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for those that continue to be warriors, those that are continue to fight the good fight. I thank you for Sister Roper, Father God, that her visit at the doctor's is going to be a good report. The report is going to be, Father God, a good word, Father God. He's going to get a good bill of health, Father God. We thank you for it. And Father God, we just pray right now for the world leaders in the world right now, Father God, that they'll seek you for a divine intervention, that they'll seek you for help in such a time as this. I pray, Father God, for all of our world leaders, that your spirit will rest upon them. I pray that they skillful and godly wisdom be entered into the heart of our president and other world leaders as well, Father God, that they will do your will, Heavenly Father, that they'll make room in their hearts, Father God, to be able to do godly things and make godly decisions, and they'll make decisions with integrity, Father God. I just thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that they'll seek godly counsel, that they'll not seek worldly counsel, because if they seek worldly counsel, that's what they're going to get. They're going to get worldly answers. So we're praying that they seek godly counsel, Father God, with integrity, honesty, truthful. I pray, Father God, that the wicked world leaders shall be cut off and rooted out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for it. And you are our refuge for all nations. I thank you for it, Heavenly Father. Then I ask you to continue to bless this broadcast, Father God, that the word will go forth and it will be a blessing to someone that's in need of it. Hallelujah. Well, hey, brothers and sisters, we're going to kind of pick up a little bit where we left off at. We were talking about, and let me remind you, we're still talking about fighting this good fight of faith, okay? So the Bible says you have to be strong in the Lord over there in Ephesians 6. Matter of fact, he gives 12 things here that he lists that's really important. He said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his power. Brothers and sisters, it's easy to not do it based on God's power. It's good not to be doing it based on his word. See, so when you're strong in the Lord, you're using his weapons. You're using weapons of mass destruction. Because who can stop the word of God? Then he says that we're to put on the whole armor of yours, Father God. He said we're to put on the whole armor of God, the 11th verse. And then he said to stand, hallelujah. You stand in that word, according to verse 13 and 14. Have your loin girt with truth. Listen, brothers and sisters. See, if you stand in a lie, then you're in Satan's territory, because John 8:44 said he is the father of all lies. So you can't operate in lies. You have to operate in truth. And the only thing that will set you free is truth. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One translation says, set you free. But either way, you're going to be free. That's the point. So as long as you operate in faith and in truth, hey, you're going to operate on God's turf, okay? No, brother and sister, this is a spiritual warfare. It's spiritual. Stop trying to fight it in the flesh. You'll lose every time. And so when he said to put on the whole armor, guess what? Get fully dressed. Get heavenly ready. And that's what the subject is about. It's about getting eternally ready, brothers and sisters. You know what? I'm going to start with the believer's foe. Because a lot of times we kind of miss that, brothers and sisters. It's easy to forget who you are and whose you are. So in John 15, what is it? John 15 and 18. John 15 and 18. Hallelujah. It reads like this. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So what's the big deal because folks hating you? So what? They hated Jesus. If Jesus was here right now, right today, and you speaking truth, they're gonna hate Jesus too. He says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So if folks hate you, remember you're in good company when you're doing it for the Lord. Remember that the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. A lot of folks don't know God. They think they know God. They want to assume they know God. You don't know God because you read it in the book. You don't know God because some preacher stood up in a pulpit and told you that. Just remember that if you're going to know Christ, you're going to have to get in the Word, and the Word is going to have to get in you, and that's what's going to define. But you can look around and see, brothers and sisters, that's what's going to define you. Also, I like Romans 8, speaking of foes. In Romans 8, 1, I want you to hear all of this, and I pray it blesses you. But in Romans 8, let's see. Well, maybe we'll go all the way through the 13th verse. It says this, and this is really important, especially if you read the 7th chapter. But nevertheless, it says in Romans 8 and 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you're going to have to ask yourself, what am I walking at? What am I chasing? In other words, what am I seeking? What I'm doing, is it of the Spirit or is it of the flesh? See, nobody can answer that but you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, man, that made me free from the law of sin and death. See, what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, that's why God sent his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned it while he was yet here. Why did you do that? That the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, you have to ask yourself, am I walking after the spiritual thing, or am I walking after the fleshly thing? See, you're getting ready for your eternal life. That's why this is so important. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want peace? You want your eternal life? Become spiritual minded, because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Wow, think about that. How many people try to please God in the flesh, especially when you know what the flesh is? They're trying to please God in the worldly things. Can't do it, brothers and sisters. But he says, but ye are in the flesh, but not in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, because you want to do the right thing. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ, Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to the life of the flesh. We are not to live after the flesh. At some point in time, your appetite has to change. You can't want to continue to be led by the devil and his things. I said the other day, and I may hit back on there in a moment if I have time. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you're going to die. You shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That doesn't change, brothers and sisters. For if ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm going to the 18th verse. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yes, you may have to suffer a little bit, brothers and sisters, but let me tell you, you don't have any idea the glory that God's getting ready to reveal in us, okay? Just want to remind you that the believer's foes, brothers and sisters, you're going to have them no matter what. I like what Galatians 5 and 16 said. If you listen with your spirit, this is going to bless you right here. In Galatians 5, now I know some of these scriptures we went over before, but it's good because guess what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sometimes you got to hear some other stuff so we can begin to catch it. In that 16th verse, he says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I asked the question, how you walk in the spirit? Because there's a lot of spirits out here. I want to know if I'm walking in the right spirit. Because there are many spirits. Many, many spirits. It's about many spirits out here as they have in the liquor store. You haven't been in the liquor store yet? They call them spirits. Here, they call them spirit stores here in Georgia. Some of them. But, and especially in Ohio, that's where you go get spirit. Well, it's just as many spirits in the world as it is bottles of spirits in the liquor. So that tells you a lot of spirits here. Yeah? Remember the guy had the lesion? The lesion? It was 7,000. So it's a lot of spirit. So when he said to us, then I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what spirit are you talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the Bible says in John 6, the words I say, they are spirit and they are life. So when you're walking in the word of God, you're walking in the right spirit. See how easy that was? Instead of trying to follow these ideals that come to your mind when you get up in the morning, those are spirits that come to attack you. Then you got to almost go back to Ephesians 6. Because this is what you're wrestling against. Spirit. Spirit. For the lust, for the flesh, lusted against the flesh, the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And there are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Isn't that interesting? You're in a constant battle, a constant struggle for your life, for your real life, the real life that's in you. But he says, but if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. And he goes to tell you all about these things that are manifest. But hey, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to miss this. Because that 21st verse, there's a lot. because there's a lot of things are revealed, brothers and sisters, and it reveals all fleshly stuff, the things that Satan have control over. You know, I was sharing with you all the other day about some things that Satan have control over. First of all, you got to know, man, the devil, he take delight in destroying people. I didn't know that. I thought I saw this killing on TV the other day. I said, man, how could somebody do that? And the Lord said, you got to read 1 Peter 5 and 8. I mean, it's some serious things that's going on. The existing works of the devil is serious. It's a serious matter, brothers and sisters. And only serious people can deal with it. For the reason the New Testament gives the repeated note of warning. So he says, be sober. Be sober. Don't be drunk. Now, be sober. That's the opposite of being sober, is not to be drunk. The point is, emphasizing, made it the statement, be sober because your adversary, the devil, you have an adversary, the devil, he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, brother and sister, you're not above that. I don't care how holy you think you are. I don't care how strong you are in your mind. The Bible says you have an adversary. So I don't want to give the devil all a lot of credit, but I just want to speak what the Word of God says. He says, and it's just related to attitude over there in the book of Jude, as Satan goes around seeing whom he may devour, people making light of this. But the Bible says in Jude 8, verses 10, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despite demons and speak evil. Yet Michael, the archangel, when he content with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, thus not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they knew not, but what they knew naturally as beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Listen, brothers and sisters, sometimes you got to just say, the devil, the Lord rebuke you. Yeah, you just have to say that. That's what Jesus did. Remember when the wind was blowing and those people thought that Jesus didn't care anything about them? Matter of fact, some of them was dumb enough to think that that was Jesus who caused the wind to blow and destroy some things. Like a lot of people do today, they think God caused the weather things to go on. No, that's Satan's work, people. That's why we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Read Ephesians 6. The devil is our adversary, okay? That's another thing, too. What he does is he don't let people see his hand. So when the wind was blowing, and Jesus came on the top of the deck. Remember he told his disciples, he said, ye of little faith, you got very little word in you. That's what he was really saying. See, so what he said is, rebuke the wind. Why would he rebuke the wind? If he told the wind to blow, why would he turn around and rebuke it? Brothers and sisters, that was not God. So Jesus rebuked the wind and told the sea, peace be still. See, you got to know a lot of hurricanes and tornadoes and all this stuff. Man, Satan is clever. But the Bible says, if our gospel be hidden, is hidden to them our laws and the God of this world. See, there's the God of this world God of this world. Sometimes I have to say that time after time to know there's a God of this world. And what is he doing? What is the God of this world doing? Got to go and read this stuff, man. Over there in Matthew 4, you can see him being the God of this world when he offered Jesus the world. Well, he had it. Yeah. Yeah, the devil had the world. It was in his hand. It's in his control. Not knowing that God is almighty. But listen, brothers and sisters, we got to start exposing the devil for what he is, okay? We got to expose him as the ruler of darkness. I read over that in Zechariah. You got to know that he is the ruler of darkness. And I hope before the week's out, we can really get into that. Because you got to know Satan got power over a lot of stuff that we don't realize it. But if the Bible says he has power, guess what I'm going to say? I'm going to say he has power. Satan have power over men. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. You know, when Jesus was on earth, and I'm going to share this and I'll be done. And when Jesus was on earth, the darkness grew deep. And Jesus began to make his way to the cross. And as he began to make his way to the cross, there was so much attack from so many different angles. Satan was throwing everything he had. One time Jesus had to say, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world come and have nothing in me. There is a prince of this world. Now, if he noticed there was a prince of this world, why we can't? The devil's sad but mighty influence feature is seen in some of the circles, in some of the scriptures. Even with the chosen disciples, Jesus saw Satan took over Peter's body, and Jesus told him, Satan, get henceforth behind me. He said, you're not of me, because that spirit had got in Peter. Yeah, that's real, brothers and sisters. Well, hey, I appreciate you all so much. You wouldn't know how much I truly appreciate you. But, hey, stay blessed. And we'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word at Night.